in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, today we join the angelic choir proclaiming glory to God in the highest. In a world where people seek the perfect gift to give, we rejoice because you have already given it. As we lit up the sky that first Christmas, continue to illuminate our world with your presence. We pray on this Christmas day that you will guide every step of our way. Hear our every prayer and delight in every praise as we come and worship you, Christ, our King, our newborn King. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you please remain standing as I read today's scripture? Today's scripture is coming from Psalm 96. We deviate from our normal series on the book of James because today is Christmas Day. This psalm commands us to sing a new song to the Lord. This is the reading of God's word, Psalm 96, verses 1 to 13. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The psalmist continue on to urge us, not only just God's people, to sing a new song, but extend it to the whole world. Listen continually on this psalm, verse 7 on. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. That was the reading of God's word. Please be seated. First of all, Merry Christmas to all of you. It's not easy to come by a year that Christmas Day fall on Sunday. It's a joyful thing. But I want to tell you a little story. Probably if you read Dr. Seuss, you probably heard about it. There's a Grinch. The Grinch is a bitter, angry, sarcastic, cave-dwelling creature who lived in a high mountain called Mount Crumpet. It's a snow-covered mountain, just a little bit north of a city called Whoville. Whoville belonged to a group of people, the Whos, who live there. They are joyful. They are merry. But this Grinch, he could not stand it because when he heard the people in Whoville, when Christmas time approached, they sing joyful songs, making joyful noise. The Grinch could not handle it. So he came up with an evil plan. He summoned his loyal but unloved dog named Max, forced Max to disguise as a reindeer and himself disguised as Santa Claus, and dragged a sleigh, went down to Whoville before Christmas Day, and then get into each home and steal their presents, steal their Christmas trees, steal their decoration, steal the food for the Christmas feast. When he packed all these stolen goods on his sleigh, went back to Mount Crumpet in the summit, He was ready to push all these things that he stolen from the village and off the cliff, expecting to hear painful cry coming from Whoville. But instead, he heard joyful Christmas chorus being sung in Whoville. He was greatly puzzled, thinking all the presents, Christmas trees and decorations and foods were gone. The fire log were gone. How could that group of people still sing joyful songs on Christmas Day? The more he heard about this joyful noise, the more that prompted him to think, maybe Christmas is more than just presents, Christmas trees, decorations, gifts, food, and all these things. When he thought of that, his smaller than normal size heart suddenly grew three sizes bigger. And he was invited to the Whoville, upon him returning all the stolen good to the people, invited to join the Christmas feast. Some of you, if you grew up reading Dr. Seuss, you're probably familiar with the story. You probably know more detail about that than I do. And there is even cartoon about that. But the question of this story, the Grinch who stole Christmas, begging us to ask a question. How can a group of people still sing joyful songs when their Christmas present, Christmas trees, decorations, foods, and logs being stolen? And today, the scripture in Psalm 96, as we read through that, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. It's a threefold invitation, rather, or command from the Lord as his people. Sing to the Lord a new song. My dear brothers and sisters, friends, you probably ask the same question as the story in The Grinch Who Stole the Christmas. How can we sing joyful songs when we read the news, when we hear bad news from our family member, our loved ones being sick, or we heard people who lost their job? We heard all these killings, and we heard all this pain in this world. How can we sing a new song to the Lord? That is the question. When we read Psalm 96, possibly looking at the back of our mind, this psalm actually gives us the answer. It is our knowledge about who God is that enables us to sing new songs while the time is difficult. It is our knowledge about who God is that enable us to sing new songs to the Lord, even in difficult time. Read with me the first six verses in this psalm. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open that to that passage. These six verses were addressed to God's people. And the background of this psalm actually is coming from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 is in the Old Testament, you know, a little bit beyond the first five books, and then comes with the historical book beyond after 1 and 2 Kings in the Old Bible, in the Old Testament. You know, to some of you, maybe what I say doesn't make sense anyway, but doesn't matter. Let me give you the background. It is a time that David was installed as king of Israel. And when he became king, the country was still divided. You remember that Israel were divided into 12 tribes? These 12 tribes, they all have their own command center. They all have their own leadership and all these things. And David, being installed as king, the first job for him is to unite the country, to unite the country together, to get all the tribes together. So after he was successfully campaigning, pursuing all these tribes, they become together. The first thing David did was to establish the capital. He chose a city, a hill city named Jerusalem. He chose that because that is a city rather neutral. It doesn't belong to or have any connection to any of the 12 tribes. Fear that if you pick a city that relates to any one of the tribes, you have favoritism toward them. Then it will undermine his effort of uniting the kingdom together. So he chose Jerusalem, rebuild that part. Upon rebuilding that, the first thing in that effort was to get the ark, which is signifying God's presence with the Israel people as they were camping, battling in the land. The ark of God, inside the ark was the tabernacle of the Ten Commandments, God's loving covenant with his people. So David was inviting and getting the ark into the city. As the ark entered the city, there is a celebration. That is the background of this psalm. This psalm actually derived from that celebration when the ark arrived. So if you see in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, you will see some of the verses, some particularly the song that they sing, are very, very similar to the psalm that we just read. Let me read you that. In chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, verse 23, in the middle of this big celebration, big choir singing all these praise songs. Sing to the Lord all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all the people. For great is the Lord, and great to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And let the sea roar and all that fills in it, and so on. Almost the same as the Psalm 96 we just read. That was the background. It was in the middle of a lot of difficult situation that King David was encountering. One by one, he conquered with God's presence and God's grace and God's help and God's strength. Because God called him to be the king. And God gave him sufficient strength and grace to achieve what God wanted him to do, to unite God's people together. When the kingdom are united together, the charge for the kingdom is to make God known to other people. So today, the psalm, you see that Psalm 96, 1 to 6, is a command that God given to his people. For his people to sing a new song to the Lord. Why? Why God asked them to sing a new song? In verse 3 on, you will see that declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. Here in these 6 verses, at least 3 reasons was given to God's people why we should sing a new song to the Lord. Number 1 is for his glory. To praise his glory, to sing about his glory. Number 2 is to praise, to sing about his marvelous work. And number 3, he is incomparable. This is an offensive statement for all of us, particularly in 21st century North America. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. You can think of any religion. This is a politically incorrect statement, but it is clear, loud, unapologetic, printed in God's word. So in other words, you put all these three together. God's glory, his marvelous work, and ultimately, none of the quote-unquote gods. There's a play of word here. Gods, in the Hebrew word, has a very similar sound to Elohim, which is the Hebrew word calling God the Almighty. It's a play of words. So if I translate into English, it could be God versus the ungods. Sounds similar. There's a play of word in there. So in other words here, the reason for us to praise and sing a new song to God is about who he is. He's glorious, his work is marvelous, and he is incomparable. There's no other God in this universe. Him alone. The particular part here is God's glory. What is God's glory? Let me read you two places. One is what I just read before. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, 16, 23 to 24, sing to the Lord all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day, and then declare his glory. So in other words, the psalmist writing this, there's a parallelism in Hebrew language, particularly in the poetic form. What marks a Hebrew poem is the parallelism, the structure that he used. It's not rhyme, but it's parallelism. So in here, what parallel to glory is his salvation. God's glory, yes, it revealed in the creation of the universe. It revealed when you look at National Geographic or NASA, any program, they send the unmanned probe into Mars or deep in deep space, sending back all this picture, marvelous. Glory of his handiwork. But in the Bible, it particularly focuses on his work of salvation. And that is why the Apostle John, in his gospel book, John, in chapter 1, verse 14, it reads this, and the Word, God's Word, become flesh, become human form, and dwell among us, live among us. And we have seen his glory. We saw that glory. What is that glory? Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, God's glory is not just on his handiwork, but also revealed in a tiny little baby 2,000 some years ago, born in Bethlehem. The Word become flesh, dwell among us, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. That is the glory of the only one who come from the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Sing a new song to the Lord for who he is. He's not only just the creator of the universe. He's not just the miracle worker, the marvelous worker who put all these stars in the sky and command the sun and all this physical law, chemical law that govern the whole universe. But particularly focus on his glory, which reveal his only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the work of salvation. His bending down himself from heaven and look at each one of us, you and I, and look into our lives and see that the brokenness, the darkness, the willingness to do good, but yet the weakness that we could not do. I should not have said that to my wife, but nevertheless, our burst of anger and frustration, I said it. I should not scold my children or discourage them, but our frustration, it came out from my mouth. He stooped down and looked at each one of our life, brokenness, iniquities, sins. I'm not talking about a speeding ticket. I'm not talking about a criminal record that you've been locked up. Sin in the Bible is far more delicate than that, far more deeper than that. It addressed to our heart, the core of our being. And if you are honest, you will see that I am far, far away from what is good. And God's glory revealed at that moment. He did not wipe us out. He did not say that, so let it be. Let me wipe out these people and create another new people. No. I got to do something. I got to transform them. I love them. Sing a new song to the Lord, brothers and sisters. For his salvation is his glory. Why are we able to sing a new song to the Lord? Not only just we ourselves may experience this salvation, that glory of God in Christ Jesus, but we are invited to participate in his rescue project. Verses 7 to 10. Listen to what it said. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the people with equity. In other words, it's inviting us to proclaim the goodness of God among the nations, families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. We are invited not only to sing a new song to the Lord because we experience our personal experience of glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ, but we are called to reveal that glory continually through our witness to the nations, to all the earth, so that they can come and worship the Lord in splendor of holiness, so that they can bring an offering and come into the courts to worship God. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I was in a church serving as a small group leader in a small group. And there was one day a family been brought to the small group through the care of some of the co-workers in the church. This family, the parents, both of them are musicians, talented musicians. They get the national scholarship and being sent to Europe to study music, performing music. Came back, become one of those prominent musicians in the orchestra, in the city orchestra. They came to us because the husband was diagnosed with stomach cancer, quite late in stage. It was through the course of weeks and months that we see the people in the small group extend their love and care and prayer and visitation and support to the husband as well as to the wife and to the children. After a couple of months, he decided, because he saw the love of Christ for him through this group of people, he decided to give his life to Christ. I baptized him in the hospital bed. Later, he passed away. After he passed away, I received a gift from his wife. It's a little bowl, porcelain bowl, put it in a wooden box. I still have it today. And I look at it, I know this is a very expensive thing. So I said, why give it to me? The wife said, my husband developed a hobby before he knew Christ to collect antique items. To him, it's not a financial investment. To him, it's a little bit of satisfaction for him, because throughout his life, he said, he wanted to look for something that is truthful and authentic. So the hobby of collecting and identifying antique object, you can tell the genuine one from the fake one, give him a little bit satisfaction on that urge, that drive. I want to find something authentic, something truthful. And she said, he found that And he wants to give you this. He doesn't need it anymore. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I are called to proclaim God's goodness to this painful world so that they will be like us, be able to sing a new song to the Lord even in difficult times. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts so that we can come together to bring an offering, to worship him. Why mention of bringing an offering? What did you bring to worship God today? Or you and I are mere consumer in God's home? God owns the whole universe. He doesn't need your offering. But offering is our gratitude and our token to express our adoration to this splendid king, to this marvelous king. Not only he's powerful, almighty, but he cares enough, even to the detail in my life, even to the detail of my pain, my struggle, and my brokenness. When your heart been touched by that marvelous love, you want to respond not only just in words, but will be in actions. And that action sometimes could be our tithing, but most importantly, just like Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, offer up our life as living sacrifice. This is reasonable worship. That's the right translation for that verse. It is a reasonable, logical worship as we offer our life as living sacrifice to serve him, to glorify his name. This morning, early 8 o'clock in the prayer meeting, we have one of the missionaries that we sent. She came back and be with us. It was a refreshing sharing when she shared about her experience last night in the Christmas Eve worship service. A lot of us were here last night. You probably still remember the beautiful music. But to us, maybe just music. When we go home, we get tired, we go back to bed. But for this missionary, she'd been missing this Christmas Eve worship for more than a decade. And when she shared, I saw a new perspective. What is that perspective? Why we celebrate in joy in Christmas? Have you think about that? Last night, Pastor James shared one of the points in his reflection is, why do we celebrate Christmas? We celebrate Christmas because God, the Father, gave us a precious gift. And we gladly receive Jesus Christ. But have you ever turned the table around and think about what kind of emotion the Father would have gone through when he gave us this gift? So that we can be joyful. So that we can celebrate. So that we can say to each other, Merry Christmas. What kind of emotion our Father's heart would go through? To sacrifice his only begotten son. Born as a baby, destined to be killed, to be murdered. My dear brothers and sisters, my friend, this is the Christmas message. This is behind what we can greet each other, why we can greet each other, Merry Christmas. Now, we receive that gift. Shall we give it out freely? Shall we, through our deeds and our words, whether it's nearby or afar, just like our missionary going to the far corner of the world, or even in your community, in your fellowship group. Brothers and sisters, if you are in a fellowship group, I urge you, don't bog down by small things. There is a great commission there. You get together not for your own enjoyment only, but for the sake of proclaiming that good news so that more people can sing a new song to the Lord even in their difficult times? Would you never, ever lose that vision? Why are you doing small group? Why are you doing fellowship? Don't bog down by, I like to be with this family, I don't like to be with this family. All these things, put it aside. Look at the bigger picture. I urge you. Revive. Revival of your group start from you, not from the leader, not from other people. Renew that mission. Otherwise, we'll be no different, even worse than social clubs. We have a mission to bring that good news to the people of this world so that they can sing a new song to the Lord even in their difficult times. When we do that, we see verses 11, 12, and 13. And this gives us hope. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. When God's people joining God's Son in His mission, the heaven, the whole realm, the whole creation bursts out in glory and in singing, in joy, in celebration. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exude and everything in it. Then shall all the trees and the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Only when we experience Jesus Christ ourselves and we embark in the mission of making him known to the people that God bring to us, God, bring them to our hearts. Then the whole universe will sing in harmony. Because then we know when God comes again as the perfect judge, those who are in Christ will have no fear. Those who are in Christ will have eternal secure place. Those in Christ will enjoy eternal fellowship with one another and with the God who loved them. Otherwise, this perfect judge come will only inflict fear in people's heart. You and I experience that. This is the perfect day for you to recall. In your life, maybe your life is difficult, but you are sitting here today. Count back the blessings. Count back what God has done for you, what God has rescued you in those devastating moments, in your darkness, when you are down. These are little pearls that God left in the path of your life journey. We need to use a thread to thread them all together. Then you'll be able to see the grand story of God is making in your life, then the promise is the beautiful pearl necklace. He will come again to make everything right, to wipe all the tears, and there will be no sickness and no death. Don't we want other people to experience that? Sing a new song to the Lord, even in our difficult time. For we know Christ Jesus is the glory of God revealed to us. And we've been invited to continue to reveal that glory among the nations, to all the people, so that the whole universe can join and sing the chorus together. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let your children join the children's choir. Join the choir when there's a choir call. This is a command. It doesn't matter whether you sing well or not. Join the choir. Sing a new song to the Lord. Join the spiritual choir. Sing a new song to the Lord, even when you encounter difficulties. For He is faithful. Merry Christmas to you all. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we worship you this morning. even though historically it's not the same day. But nevertheless, your church come together to glorify your name. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for enabling us to say Merry Christmas to one another because your heart was tear apart. Your heart was in pain. Your heart was sacrificed by giving us your only begotten Son. We are grateful. In your name we pray. Amen.